You're listening to live courtroom coverage of the trial of Lori Vallow Daybell from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. Now, back to the courtroom.
So is this you responding to the scene?
Correct.
And was your camera flipped upside down initially?
The camera wasn't. The orientation of the software was.
So that's why we see the axon and stuff in the bottom corner upside down?
That is correct.
So this was a gated community?
It was.
As you're driving, did you go by the fire truck here?
I did.
And is it standard for fire to stage a little ways away from the scene when it's a shooting?
Yes.
Why is that?
So they can respond quickly.
Do they want you to clear the residence first before they show up?
Yeah, it needs to be safe for the firemen. We had to make sure there's no one else in the house that was armed or in the area.
And as you're arriving, is the person, the shooter, still inside the house?
I can't recollect. I think he was at the door right now or just coming out to the door.
Why did you pull your weapon?
I was just told somebody killed somebody, so for my safety. I wanted to make sure I rendered him safe before I put my gun away. Okay. It was a threat to me.
So when he came out, he had both his hands up in the air?
Mm-hmm.
So at that point, nothing touching his head yet, no?
Correct.
Now, did you stay out with him while Officer Wersbicki went inside?
I did.
While you're talking with him during this whole time, at this point, he still hasn't brought anything out to try to place on his injury.
Correct.
When he came out, did he already have those sunglasses on the top of his head?
He did.
Why did you have him move over here?
I actually physically couldn't hear him. Fire trucks are incredibly loud, so I had to move away.
So fire had already pulled up to now go inside the residence?
Correct.
And can you kind of see them in the corner going in?
Yes.
Did you learn whose truck that was in the driveway?
I don't recollect right now whose truck it is. I think it's his, but I'm not sure.
How do you say his name? And who is that other officer there?
That's Officer Wiz, Wizbeski, sorry. I've been calling him Wiz since I've known him.
Shorter. Were you initially trying to control the scene yourself, sort of helping to tell people where to go and what to do?
Oh, absolutely. My head's on kind of a swivel. I'm always kind of looking around, like just people just walk up to you and ask you what's going on. And you got to make sure no one's going to walk up to the house. So you just try to keep it as pristine as you can.
So we see him putting his head now, or his hand on the back of his head, correct?
Yes.
And you indicated there's a fire truck there. You asked him if he wanted any medical attention?
I did.
And he declined it?
He refused.
Who are those?
That's Lori Vallowen, her daughter.
So when you said across the street, we just saw a red SUV. Is that what you're talking about?
Correct.
So at this point, did you know the name of the individual inside the residence?
Yes.
And who was that?
Charles Vallow.
And did you at this point understand who that woman was that walked up?
Yes.
And who did you believe she was?
His wife.
Normally when someone is shot and killed, is there a team of detectives and crime scene specialists who will come out to handle the case?
Yes.
And are you, as patrol officer, sort of stuck with taking care of it until they arrive?
Yeah, we deal with the burning, bleeding, and blowing up stuff. Anything that takes time and a lot more in-depth stuff, that's what the detectives do.
And then what do we see here that just came up?
It looks like an ambulance.
You told us that you understood when you were arriving that this shooting had just happened. Do you recall at this point when the 911 call came in?
No, I don't remember specifics on the time. I think at 8:39 I was dispatched to it. And I would imagine the call for service came in a minute or two before that.
And approximately, do you recall how long it took you to get to the scene?
Probably 4 or 5 minutes.
We see more people walking up. Are you trying to stop the contamination of the scene by having more people walk in there?
Yes, I told the firemen kind of what was maybe in the house, and Officer Wiz was already in the house, and so we were just trying to control how many firemen went into the house.
So when you're the first on scene, are you trying to have the least number of people go in there as possible?
Yes.
Are you trying to not touch anything that's not necessary to be touched?
Correct, yes.
Obviously, if fire's going to work on a person, they're going to have to contaminate it somewhat.
Yes.
Is that when we sort of see fire now leaving?
I couldn't, just from recollection, I couldn't answer that.
We see something in Officer Wisbecki's hand. Is that the crime scene tape?
Yes. We do an inner and then an outer perimeter.
The exact same thing.
Is it normal for a patrol officer to have to stay with the individual who is the shooter and ensure that no one else is contacting them?
Yes.
So you don't want any of the neighbors walking up to them?
Correct. At this moment, I'm still basically fact-finding. I'm just trying to figure out what happened, when it happened, who was involved kind of thing. And yeah, I try to keep them separate.
At some point, do sergeants and others start arriving on scene?
Yes, that's my sergeant, Sergeant Nasella.
When you have a scene like this where detectives are going to be called out, do all the different patrol officers provide their information that could be relevant to one person who can then brief the detectives?
Yes, I brief my supervisor to let him know from my point of view what I know and what I was told. And then at some point, I think he would disseminate that to the detectives.
Okay. So is this you kind of telling him at this point what you've learned?
Yes.
And can we also see what the body camera looks like on the shoulder there?
Yes, he has the same type.
What made you decide that you needed to go over and talk to Lori Vallow?
Again, it's fact-finding, really. It's who are you? And when I say who, I always like to identify them by their Arizona driver's license, because although my name is Robert, I go by Rob. So I don't want to assume her name is just Lori. It could be something specifically or longer. So I usually ask people for identification.
And that's so you can put that into your report appropriately?
Correct.
So we saw the ambulance leave. That means they didn't transport him?
Correct.
Did you learn that you actually couldn't cordon off this area the way you had initially thought, because there was only one way out?
That is correct. We initially, as you can see, cordoned off part of the road so they couldn't, anybody couldn't just drive up to us. We later learned that's the only way that part of the neighborhood could actually exit the neighborhood, so we had to change the tape a little bit.
And then we see fire leave here as well. So now it's just police basically at the scene?
Police and I think a crime scene technician.
And are you still the only person responsible for making sure that no one is talking with Alex Cox?
I am.
Okay.
Is this where you go over to speak with Ms. Vallow?
Yes.
Does your husband live here or no? Oh, gotcha. Okay. You guys
are right. You could turn up the volume.
Gotcha. Okay. Let me just get your... Do you have a driver's license with you? I can just grab it. What does your middle initial stand for?
Noreen.
N-O?
R-E-N.
V-A-L-L. What's a phone number for you, Lori?
808-755.
755?
5452.
You live here, though, not in Santan. This is your home?
Right.
Gotcha.
Right.
Okay. How long have you guys lived here?
Sorry?
How long have you lived here?
Like 3 weeks.
Oh, geez. Yeah, okay.
That's why the neighbor stood on us.
Gotcha.
Like, hi, neighbor, sorry.
Are you working at all?
No.
Okay. And you're still about 5'6"?
Mm-hmm.
And 20?
Did you also get biographical information from the teenager?
I did.
Was that Tylee Ryan?
It was.
I'm going to stop it now. After you had talked with Alex Cox and Lori Vallow, did you go brief some of the detectives about what you had learned?
I did.
Did you tell the detectives that Lori Vallow did not know that her husband, Charles, was dead?
I told them that I did not advise her of such.
Okay. Did you believe that she did not know that her husband was dead?
I did.
Why did you believe that?
Well, I was under the understanding that this just happened. She just arrived back on scene, and I did not advise her of what happened in the house.
When you spoke with Alex Cox, did he provide additional information that made you believe that she was not present when the shooting happened?
Yes.
After you advised the detectives of this, did you then return and remain with Alex Cox for a significant additional period of time?
Yes.
Were you eventually asked to transport him to the police station?
I was.
Can you describe his demeanor during the transport?
calm. We just talked about things not related to this at all, just a conversation between like me and you, just normal, average tone, calm.
Did you stay with him at the police station until a detective arrived?
Yes.
Did that end your involvement in this case?
It did.
I have no further questions.
All right, cross-examination.
Pronounce your last name for me. I don't want to get it wrong.
Krautheim.
Krautheim.
Yes.
Yes? Okay. Officer Krautheim.
Correct? At the time, yes.
At the time. Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate it. You mentioned about Alex being calm when he exited the house. Is that correct?
Yes.
And then he's also, you were advised that he had told the 911 operator that he composed himself and then called 911. Is that correct?
I don't remember the compose himself, but I think he did.
But you stated in your report that Alex was very calm throughout the entire time talking with him, correct?
Yes.
Okay. And the scene itself, was it chaotic?
No.
Were people running around screaming?
No.
Were people running in and out of the front door?
No.
So were the officers calm?
It was just me and another officer.
Were you calm?
Yes.
Was the other officer calm?
He was.
Were the detectives calm?
They were.
Was the fire department calm?
I didn't interact with him very much. I couldn't answer that.
Your friend, the Wiz, was calm?
Yes, the other officer, yes.
So when I arrived at the scene, things were pretty calm.
Is that a question?
Yes.
Oh, yes, you were calm.
No, I'm saying when I arrived at the scene itself was calm. Environment.
It was.
Okay. So if I would have been hysterical, that would have been more out of character than if I was calm when everybody else was being calm.
Objection.
Isn't that correct?
Speculation.
Sustain.
So you said that Alex was calm and was holding a towel in his right hand and holding it up to the back of his head. Is that correct?
He did.
And you said, oh, sorry, it's in my other note. Just now that his head had a 1-inch laceration. Is that correct?
Yes.
That's like a cut down his head. One
it
inch?
Is.
Okay. And you said a small knot.
I did.
Is that correct? Okay. And so, and that it was bleeding a little. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. And so a small knot is what you declared it, but would you not call it a goose egg?
Tomato, tomato.
Okay. Did Alex ask for medical treatment?
He did not.
How many times did you ask him if he needed medical treatment?
I think 3 times.
Okay. And there was EMS right there next to you?
Yes.
So an EMS person could have just come over and checked the back of his head pretty easily, yeah?
Yes.
Yes. But no one asked anybody to do that?
Correct?
Correct. Okay. And he didn't seem disoriented to you at all?
No.
So you didn't think he needed any kind of medical attention at the time?
No.
And he didn't ask for any at the time?
Correct. He did not.
And you didn't supply any at the time?
Correct.
Okay. But EMT was right there next to you.
Yes.
Okay. That's another thing that you said, calm and nonchalant. Is that correct? You stated
yes.
That Alex was nonchalant. What is your definition of nonchalant?
Kind of like how I am now. I don't have a lot of emotion. I'm not afraid. Just nonchalant.
Is that your typical demeanor?
I guess it depends on the situation and the circumstance.
I mean, this can be a stressful situation, right? So it's your demeanor right now.
It is.
Testifying in court can be a stressful situation.
I guess it can be.
So if that was Alex's normal demeanor, then it wouldn't be out of the ordinary for him to be nonchalant.
Objection, speculation.
I'll allow it. I'll allow the answer. He doesn't know the demeanor, but you can answer.
Can you ask the question again?
Yeah, so if Alex's normal demeanor was like your normal demeanor, and even in a stressful situation, if he was nonchalant, it wouldn't be out of the ordinary for him to be nonchalant again, because that's his normal demeanor.
Objection to compound question.
I'll sustain that objection.
You mentioned that I had parked across the street. Is that correct?
Yes.
Why did I have to park across the street?
I don't know.
So we saw on the body cam, right, that there was a huge fire truck, correct?
Yes.
There was police cars, correct?
Yes.
There was a CSI van, correct?
She was parked somewhere. I don't know where.
Next to the house, kind of, I guess, south of the house. So there was nowhere to park except for across the street. Is that correct?
No.
That's not correct?
That is not correct.
Where else could I have parked?
Well, the street's long. You could have parked anywhere along the street. You could have parked on the other street. That's where I parked. Or you could park on the other side of the street, south of the home, where there was plenty of parking. So there was other options to park.
But I parked as close as I could to the scene so that I could come talk to you. Is that correct?
Speculation, testifying.
Sustain.
So we can agree that there are lots of police vehicles blocking the house. Is that correct?
Emergency vehicles.
Correct.
Yes.
Yes, emergency. Police, fire, CSI, all were there, correct?
Yes.
Okay. But even though all of those things were there, the scene was not chaotic. Is that correct?
Correct.
It was a very calm scene that day.
Objection asked and answered.
Sustained.
Do you know how hot it was that day?
No, but it was hot.
It was hot. Oh, that's what I was going to ask you. What was the extent of your duties that day? I know that you had arrived on the scene. You said dispatched was about 8:39 a.m. Is that correct?
Yes.
And then it took you about 4 to 5 minutes to arrive?
Yes.
And then you were the first on the scene?
No.
No. Who was the first on the scene? Do you know?
Wiz was.
Oh, that's correct. And then who arrived? How long after he arrived did you arrive? Do you know?
Oh, I was like seconds.
Okay.
Maybe 10, 15 seconds.
And then you were right there when Alex came out of the house?
I was.
And you were with him basically that whole time? Till he got into the police car?
Yes.
And then did you drive him to the station?
I did.
So you were in the car with him the whole time?
Yes.
So you really never didn't have eyes on Alex from the time he came out of the house till the time he got to the police station?
Correct.
Okay. And did you have a conversation on the way to the police station?
I did.
You did. And that's the second body cam we didn't watch, is that correct? That has your name on it?
Yeah, there's another body-worn camera we haven't seen.
Right, from the police car, I'm saying.
Yes, me driving.
You driving, but it comes from the car, not from the shoulder body cam, is that correct?
No, it comes from my body
cam. Oh, it was still on your shoulder?
Yes.
Okay. And in that, Did you have a conversation with Alex on the way to the police station?
Objection
yes.
asked and answered.
And did he express?
Hold on. When there's an objection.
I'm sorry.
Wait for the ruling. I'll sustain the objection, but the answer will stand nonetheless. Go ahead. Next question.
Did he express to you that he kind of fell out of it because he hit?
Say.
Sustain.
When did you make your report about the incident on July 11th, 2019?
I think it was the end of my workday that day, but I stopped and started it numerous times throughout the day.
So did you finish it that day, or it still took a few days?
No, I finished it at the end of my shift.
By the end of your shift, which was what time that day?
4 o'clock.
Okay. And did you make any revisions to that later on?
No.
So this is the only report that you made in regards to the day of July 11th, 2019?
It is.
You stated that there was red liquid on the rag towel that appeared to be blood. Did you think it was something other than blood?
Well, I had no way to test it, so I have to articulate it that way.
So he was bleeding from the back of the head?
He was.
On the right-hand side?
Yes.
Is that correct? Okay. And then was it you on the body cam who briefed the detectives, Detective Moffitt and Detective Inklin, in the front yard?
Yes, I made contact with them, yes.
And then you had told them basically what Alex had conveyed to you, what happened?
Yes.
And then what do they do with that information? Do they just put it into a report?
I don't know. You'll have to ask them.
Okay. So your report goes to who after you're finished with it?
I send it to my supervisor.
And who was that at the time? Do you remember?
That was Bill Nasella.
Oh, the same one?
Sergeant, okay. Yes.
Okay. And then did you speak to the case agent on this case regarding this incident on July 11th?
I did at the time. That's when I walked up to them at the front door area.
Okay. And was Detective Moffitt the case agent at that time?
Yes.
Okay. And now it's Detective Duncan, as far as you know?
As far as I know. I don't know for sure, but that's what I've been told.
Okay. And how long do you think that you were at the residence? What was the whole time before you guys left to go to the police station? Do you remember? Do you recall?
No, I do not. It would be in my CAD history on when I transported him from the home to the PD. So I'd have to look at that. And I don't know, 40 minutes, half hour, 40 minutes, something like that.
Now, someone on the video, and I don't remember who it was, but put a phone into a evidence bag. Was that you?
I don't recollect that.
Okay. And then got into the car. Did someone ride with you to the police station from the residence? Just you and Alex were in the car?
Yes.
No other officers?
Correct.
But before you got into the car, an officer came over and took his phone and put it in an evidence bag?
You're asking me for recollection. I don't remember that. It's probable because we usually try to bring their property to the area where we're going to. So it's probable.
I just didn't see it in your report, but I saw it on the body cam, so I wondered if you knew. Okay.
I'm going to object to the defendant testifying.
All right. Please only ask questions.
Sure.
When you make statements about what you saw or heard, that's testimony.
I apologize, Your Honor.
Go ahead.
Okay. So it says in your report that you were asked by Detective Moffitt to transport Alex to the police station, not handcuffed. Is that correct?
Yes.
And to the downstairs interview room. I'm assuming that's at Chandler Police Department?
It is.
Correct. Okay. And it was just the two of you in the car on the ride there?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Thank you. Then when you arrived at the police station, what happened next?
Walked him up to the room, had him sit down, or I think brought him some water, I think. And the detective was literally behind me. It wasn't very long before he walked into the room.
So then Detective Moffitt took over and you were excused?
Yes.
Okay. And then was that the extent of your duty?
It was.
At that time? And did you leave the police station after that?
Yes.
Did you stay and observe the interview?
No.
So Detective Moffitt took over for you and you departed?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. You said when you spoke to Alex that he was cooperative. Is that correct?
Yes.
Is it possible he could have been in shock?
Objection, speculation.
Sustain.
From your observation, how long did the cut on Alex's head bleed? I mean, you were with him for that 40 minutes, and how long do you think it was bleeding?
Well, I couldn't answer that because I wasn't standing in the back of his head when I first made contact with him. So I, to be honest with you, I don't know when it started. So I don't have the minutes.
Did it appear to be bleeding when he exited the house, or no?
I didn't look at the back of his head right away when he exited the house.
When was the first time that you looked at it? About how long after he exited?
I can't answer time-wise, but it was during the time I had him seated at the sidewalk when I was talking to him.
Okay. Before he moved over or after?
Oh, after he moved over.
Okay. Did you ever enter into the house?
No.
You were just there in the front yard?
Yes.
The whole time. Okay. When you talked to the two detectives in the front yard and gave them your synopsis of what had happened, you said they got into a domestic fight consistent...
Objection.
I'm sorry.
I'm going to sustain the objection.
What was the legal objection?
Hearsay.
Hearsay.
Oh, I was just reading his report. Okay.
Then objection, no question.
Please ask your next question.
You said in your report that at one point Alex's niece grabbed the bat.
Objection.
Hold on.
Hearsay.
That's
improper
hearsay.
Question.
Okay, you can't ask hearsay. Please ask your next question.
Did Alex tell you that he got hit in the head with the bat?
Objection, Your Honor. Hearsay, prior ruling.
Yeah, it's sustained. You can't ask questions of what Alex said.
So you observed that he had this bump on his head, but you didn't know how he got it. Is that correct?
No. That's not correct.
You did know how he got it. Is that correct?
I was told how he got it, which is different than me knowing how he got it, if that makes any sense.
Correct. You did not witness it, is what you're saying.
Correct.
But you knew that he had an injury to the back of his head on the right side.
I did.
Correct. Okay. And how did you obtain that information, Your Honor?
You can't answer if it calls for hearsay.
Did you observe the next door neighbor come out in her nightgown to speak to me?
I did.
And then there was another neighbor on the other side that came out that you told him to go back into his house? Is that
correct? I don't know if he was a neighbor, but it was just some guy. Yeah, I assumed he was a neighbor.
Right. So they had blocked off the street so the neighbors couldn't really exit the neighborhood. They couldn't go to school or work, or it's kind of an issue there?
Not really. I mean, when one car told us the layout of the neighborhood, then we realized that was the only person that wanted to exit. They told us they couldn't exit, so we just fixed it so anyone else could leave.
Right. But they were trying to come up to me to find out what was happening.
Objection, okay. Speculation, hearsay.
I'll sustain the objection. Let's take our afternoon break for the staff and the jurors. We're going to take a 15-minute stretch restroom break. Please remember the admonition.
All rise for the jury.
Juror 15. Is that your phone on the...
Just a couple more things. You mentioned that you briefed the detectives. Is that correct?
Yes.
And what did you tell them in that briefing?
Objection, hearsay.
Sustained.
Are his statements hearsay as well, Your Honor?
Any out-of-court statement is hearsay, unless there's an exception under, or it's non-hearsay under the rules. So, yes, his out-of-court statements are hearsay. Go ahead.
But you did brief the detectives before you headed to the police station. Is that correct?
I did.
And who was there? Do you remember?
Nate Moffitt, Cassie, I think my sergeant.
Is that Detective Inkland? I'm sorry. I don't want to interrupt you.
No.
Oh.
And just off recollection, I think there was another one, but off of recollection, I don't remember.
And that was about how long before you left to go to the police station?
Ten minutes, maybe.
And how long do you think you were speaking with them?
Under a minute.
Under a minute?
Yes.
For the briefing?
Yes.
Did you meet with the prosecutor to go over your testimony today?
I did.
When was that?
2 weeks ago, maybe.
How long did that meeting last?
Probably around an hour total.
Did you review this report before you came to testify today as well?
I did.
It was not part of your duty to check anything in the perimeter. You weren't looking for evidence. You were just dealing with the shooter. Is that correct?
Well, not just the shooter, but scene management, making sure the resources were en route. But yes, managed.
What all does that entail, scene management?
Well, once we knew there was not a threat out, I instructed Officer Wiz to set up an inner and outer perimeter with crime scene tape.
What else?
Make sure I had a supervisor en route, and then manage the people that walked up to the scene.
Who was that supervisor en route? Do you know?
Bill Nasella, my sergeant. Oh.
How many people do you think came up to you at that scene?
Well, not up to me, but I instructed one gentleman that was walking on the sidewalk towards us. He needed to just leave the area. This didn't concern him. And then you and your daughter walked up to me, and I just asked you to go back to your car.
Did you have any conversations with your supervisor when he arrived?
I did.
When was that?
At some point between me arriving on scene and me leaving the scene.
Closer to arriving or closer to leaving, maybe?
Chocolate milkshake says about halftime.
Okay. How long do you think that conversation was?
Well, you saw it on the body-worn camera, so a minute and a half maybe.
And he was just checking in with you to make sure everything was going well, that you were scene managing. Is that correct?
Objection, relevance, and hearsay.
Overruled, he can answer.
I was briefing him on what I knew thus far, what I was told.
And that was less than a minute?
Yeah.
Objection. Asked and answered.
Sustained.
So it took less than a minute to brief him on everything that had happened that day so far?
Objection. Asked and answered.
Sustained.
And it took less than a minute to brief the detectives as well of what happened that day?
An objection. Asked and answered.
I'll allow that one. Go ahead.
Not what happened, what my portion was and what I knew happened.
So what you wrote in your report, basically, what you were told. Is that correct?
Yes.
So it took you 3 pages to write what you were told, but it took you less than a minute to discuss that with the detectives. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. How long was that transport from the residence to the Chandler Police Department?
In miles, probably 8 miles, 10 miles maybe.
How long do you think that took around?
10 to 15 minutes maybe.
And then where did you enter into the police station? Is there a garage or something?
I don't recollect where I parked. There's various areas you can park at the police department to access the area that I access. So I'm unable to answer. I don't know where I parked.
Okay. And you were able to walk Alex into the police station. Is that correct?
Yes.
And he was unhandcuffed. Is that correct?
Correct.
And then you took him into an interrogation room. Is that correct?
Yes.
And then Detective Moffitt took over?
Yes.
Okay. Just wanted to be clear. Okay. Did your supervisor, Nacella, did he come to the police station as well?
Not with me, nor did I talk to him. He might have, but I don't know.
You didn't see him there?
Correct.
Okay. But did you saw Detective Moffitt there?
Yes.
And you saw Detective Inklin there?
I don't remember Inklin. I just remember Moffitt relieved me.
Okay. That's all I have, Your Honor.
All right. Redirect.
Thank you.
At the beginning of cross-examination, you were asked about Alex Cox's demeanor. Do you recall that?
I do.
And you had advised that he was nonchalant and calm, right?
Yes.
And you were asked whether or not you were nonchalant and calm too, correct?
Yes.
Had you just shot someone?
No.
You were asked if the firefighters were calm and nonchalant. Had they just shot someone?
As far as I know, no.
How about Officer Wiz? You said he was nonchalant and calm too. Had he just shot anyone?
No.
So it's not really exactly the same to compare you to the shooter, right?
Correct. I would not compare us.
When you went up to the scene, you had your gun drawn on him, correct?
Yes.
Still nonchalant and calm?
Yes.
You were asked a lot also about your nonchalant and calm appearance today in court. Are you stressed or just answering questions to the best of your knowledge?
The latter, just answering questions to the best of my knowledge.
You had to testify before?
I have.
You were asked about the injury to Alex Cox. We have seen the body-worn camera footage, and we cut it off at some point. When Mr. Cox first came out of the house, he did not have his hand to his head, correct?
Correct.
You told us you didn't notice an injury at that point?
Correct.
When he first sat down on the curb before you moved him, did you notice an injury at that point?
I did not.
Was he touching his head at that point?
Recollection, I don't remember.
At some point in the video that we watched, did we see Alex Cox touch his head?
Yes.
When you were watching him, did you at times see him rubbing his head?
Yes.
The towel or paper towel or whatever that was in his hand, was that the only item you ever saw him using to rub or touch his head?
Yes.
Was it soaked or saturated in blood?
No.
Can we see it on the body cam that it's mostly white?
Yes.
So if we want to really know how long it was that he was seated before he touched his head, we could watch the time on the body cam, right?
Yes.
You were asked if you met with the prosecutor previously. When we met, did you have to watch that entire body cam?
Yes.
And is that when you actually initialed it, exhibit number one there, so that you would recognize it in court?
Yes.
You were asked about when you arrived and when you later transported Alex Cox to the precinct. Would looking at the CAD report help refresh your recollection as to when you had at least taken him to the precinct?
Yes.
If I could have my paralegal bring up the CAD report.
Go ahead.
Help refresh your recollection as to when you arrived back at the precinct with Alex Cox.
It does.
And when was that?
9:18 and 19 seconds.
And so the 911 call was at 8:36 a.m.?
That's when I received it. It could have come into the dispatch a few minutes earlier.
And you said you arrived and we saw you on the body cam right after Officer Where's Biggie, who got here around, or got there around 8:41?
Yes.
So you were with Alex Cox at the scene and talking to Lori Vallow and her daughter and doing those briefings in that 20, 30 minutes?
Yes.
No other questions, Your Honor.
All right, I see at least one juror question in a bin. If there are any juror questions, please pass them down at this time. Go ahead, the state has a follow-up question.
Just one question, and I don't know if the CAD will help you answer that. Do you know when you were finished with this call? What time it was when you were finished or released from this call and able to go back out?
It was probably 5 minutes after, maybe 10, probably 10 minutes. I probably used the restroom, to be honest with you, and got something to drink at the station, water. Maybe 10 or 15 minutes after the detective came in the room is when I hit the 10A button and I went and took other calls for service.
Okay, so you were done with this call before the end of your shift?
Oh, yes.
Okay, you didn't go back to the scene to help with scene security or anything like that?
No.
No other questions?
All right. Did the defendant have any follow-up?
No, we're fine, Your Honor.
All right, this witness can step down. You want to hand me that? Thank you. All right. You can call your next witness.
If I may go get the next witness.
In front of the podium here and be sworn in by my clerk.
Can you spell your name for the record?
Scott,
S-C-O-T-T, Calvary, C-O-W-T. Please raise your right hand. Only swear that the testimony you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth will help you back.
Yes.
Thank you. All right, you're going to come up this little ramp, have a seat right here.
Sir, would you please introduce yourself to the jury?
My name is Scott Cowden.
And where do you work?
Chandler Fire Department.
How long have you worked there?
Almost 26 years.
And talk to you a little bit about what firefighters do. Do you just respond to fires, or are you also responsible for something else?
No, the majority of our job is going to be EMS medical calls.
What kind of training do you have to work as a firefighter and deal with medical calls?
When you're hired, you're going to go through an academy that will certify you as a state firefighter. Typically, you're going to already be certified as an EMT. And then during the course of your career, I went to paramedic school and graduated from that in probably 2007.
Can you tell us what the difference is between a paramedic and an EMT?
EMT would just be kind of the more basic kind of entry level position. Paramedic is more advanced, so you have more advanced training. There's more advanced skills that you could perform. Some of our equipment would only be able to be used and utilized and performed by a paramedic.
As both an EMT or a paramedic, are you trained to perform CPR?
Yes.
And can you tell us, have you ever been a CPR instructor yourself?
Yes, I was a CPR instructor for probably over 12 years.
Was that for other firefighters?
I was certified through American Heart Association, a contract employee with Dignity Health. They have a variety of different classes that could be for just the lay rescuer, lay person that wants to know how to do CPR. They have classes that might be for certain businesses that want their employees. And then there's healthcare provider classes that it could be firefighters, nurses that are attending to be recertified. Every 2 years you have to have that certification recertified.
Can you tell us what CPR is?
It stands for cardiopulmonary resuscitation. So you're kind of acting as the heart. The heart has stopped beating, so there, no blood is flowing through the body. You're doing chest compressions on the chest, and you're pumping and pushing that blood to the body.
There's more live courtroom coverage coming up. Press subscribe now so you don't miss a second from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.